This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
In progress.
Okay, good evening, friends. We're continuing in Daf HaShavua Masechta Ksubos, Daf Samach Vav. Tani Tana Kamei D'Rava. A Tana taught before Rava. A teacher of Tanaitic material taught before Rava. Metzias Ha'isha La'atzma. The findings of a woman belong to herself. Not like the Mishnah. The Mishnah said Metzias Ha'isha La'bala. So the Tana Kama says Metzias Ha'isha La'atzma. Rabbi Akiva Omer La'bala. Rabbi Akiva says they go to her husband. Like the Mishnah says. Amar Le, so Rava said to this teacher of Tanaitic material, how could it be that Rabbi Kiva says that it goes Labala? We know, Hashta, now, Maha Adafa, if the excess Masi Adayim, that really you can make the case go to the husband. Demasi Adahi, really it's like handiwork. And Rabbi Kiva says still, La'atma, it goes to her, mitziyasa le'kol shekein, so her findings all the more so. The Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, meaning we know Rabbi Kiva says the excess masi adayim go to her. So, and there you can make the case they should go to the husband because it's handiwork, which he gets her Masi Adayim, and yet the excess, Rabbi Kiva says, goes to her, then certainly the findings go to her. Mitziyasa loy koshikin, so why would Rabbi Kiva say it goes to her husband? The Tanan, we learned, how do we know Rabbi Kiva says that excess Masi Adayim go to her? The Tanan, we learned in Mishnah, Koinam sha'ani oisa lapicha, if someone takes a neder, and the woman wants to get at her husband, and she says, I ask her my handiwork that I am going to do for you. So now, the thing is, the woman is meshubet to him for her masi adayim. But if she says, koinam sha'ani oisa lepicha, I ask her that which I produce for your mouth, einoi tzarech lahafer, he does not have to annul, because she's meshubet to him for a masi adayim, so he doesn't have to annul such a neder. Rabbi Kiva says yafer, he should annul the neder. Why? Because shema tadif alav yasim aroyloi. Maybe she'll produce more than that's fit. She might make more masi adayim than she needs to, and on that, that belongs to her, and therefore he should be made for the nether, because maybe she'll die and he'll inherit that and he won't be able to benefit from it. But the bottom line is, we see that Rabbi Kiva holds that excess Masi Adayim go to her. So if excess Masi Adayim go to her, then certainly her Metzioi should go to her. Ella, says the Gemara, Ella Epach. Flip it around. Mitzias Ha'isha Labala. The Tanakhama says it goes to the husband. Rabbi Kiva Omer L'Atzma, Rabbi Kiva says it goes to her. Again, the argument is, if she even gets her excess Masi Adayim, which you can make the case she go to him, certainly she should get her Metziyais, the Metziyais. Says the Gemara, V'ha Ki'asa Ravin, when Ravin came, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, V'ha Adafa Shaloi Al Yedei Hadchak, Rabbi Yochanan says, Hadafa, excess earnings that come easily, Kuli Amalo Pligi Dabal. Everyone says it goes to the husband. What does it mean, excess earnings, Shalai Deidchak? Rashi says, Kagoin Shehi Iranis, Ubalas Malacha. As they say in Yiddish, she's geshikt. What a woman is, she's really put together. And she makes excess earnings easily. Everyone agrees it goes to the husband. Ki pligi b'hadafa sh'al yedei etchak. What kind of excess earnings do they argue about? Excess earnings that come with difficulty, where she really toils. Tanakama savar labala. Tanakama says it goes to the husband. Rabbi Kiva savar labala atzma. Rabbi Kiva says it goes to her. Now, how would you estimate what a mitzia is like? Is it like excess earnings with difficulty or without difficulty? You would say it's without difficulty, because when you find something, it involves no difficulty. And yet, excess earnings that come without difficulty, kulei alma lo pligi debal, everyone agrees it goes to the husband. So that means everyone should agree mitzios go to the husband. So how could you be epoch? And Rabbi Kiva says it goes la'atzma, but everybody agrees that excess earnings that come easily goes to the baal. Meaning, hadafa shaloi al-yidei adchak, everyone agrees it goes to the baal. So how could you say Rabbi Kiva says that it goes to her? Says the Gemara, Amra Papa Mitsiyasa Kehadafa Sha'idei Adchak. A finding is like excess earnings with difficulty. And therefore Rabbi Kiva says it goes to her. And therefore it's plucked to Rabbi Kiva Rabbana. Now why would excess earnings why would a mitzia be like excess earnings with difficulty? L'chaira, it's easy to find the mitzia. Rashi says, well, most findings, you got to really have to search for it. You're not going to find anything good unless you're really searching for it. So it's not like, you know, some kind of windfall, an unexpected circumstance. No. Excess earnings, a mitzia is like excess earnings with difficulty. Boy, Papa asked the following shayla. Mahu, what if a woman, you know, could chew gum and ride on a bike at the same time? In other words, what if a woman could multitask and do two things at the same time? Rashi says she guards cucumbers and spins flax, and she's a music teacher to top it off, and she warms eggs in her lap. You know, it's like the joke, the guy said if he would be as rich as Rothschild, he would be richer than Rothschild. That's what the Rebbe said. So he asked the Rebbe, what does that mean, if you would be as rich as him, you'd be wealthy? He said, because I would also tutor on the side. You know? So that's the question. Could a woman who multitasks, who gets it? Mahu. Boy Ravina, shloishoy dal bevasachas mahu. Let's say she does three or four things at the same time. Is it like al yidei hadchak or not? Okay. Now, the Mishnah said that her embarrassment and her pergam belong to her. Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera says, when it's secretive, meaning when it's private, she gets two-thirds and he gets one-third. When it's open, he gets two-thirds and she gets one-third. Says Gemara, Maskifla Rava Bar Rav Hanan. Rava Bar Rav Hanan asks, Elameyata. So this is very interesting. Here it is. Someone is shaming the person's wife and the husband is collecting. Nobody shamed the husband. They shamed the husband's wife. Why is the husband collecting? And you'll see, this is very much connected to Ner Chanukah. Why is that? Maskefla Rava Barav Chanaan Alameyata Bayish Susasa Shechaver Chanami Debailamitanle Boishas. Well, maybe if you embarrass someone's horse, you should have to give the owner shame, embarrassment. Says Gemara Vesus Bar Boishasu. Is a horse capable of experiencing shame? Says Gemara, Ela Rokak beBigdoy Shel Chaveray, Hachanami deBoy Lamitin LaBoishas. Well, maybe the same way if you embarrass someone's wife, you have to pay them shame. Maybe if you spit on someone's clothing, you should have to pay them shame. Because we see that if you shame somebody by embarrassing what's an extension of them, you have to pay shame. So this also you should have to pay shame. V'chitema, and if you're going to say, hachinami, that in a chinami, if you spit on someone's If you spit on someone's clothing, you should taka have to pay shame. But tanan we learned in a Mishnah, rakak. If you spit, v'higiyu boi haroik. And if you spit at someone, if the spit reaches the person's body, or upara roshi ish, or you uncover a woman's hair, v'hever talisa mimenu, you take off someone's cloak, chayv litin lai arame azuz, you have to pay 400 zuz. But if you just spit on someone's clothing, you don't have to pay boishas, only if it spit at the person. And Rav Papa makes this diakvam, Rav Papa loishanu elaboy. Rav Papa said, this is only learnt if you spit on the person themselves. Avo bebigdai pater, if you spit on their clothing, you're pater. Says Gemara, bebigdai les lazy lusa. If you spit on someone's clothing, there's no shame. Ishdai, but someone's wife, is lazy lusa. One's wife, there is shame. But right now the Gemara is not saying that. The Gemara is saying that on clothing, you're not embarrassed. On a wife, you are. But the Gemara didn't yet say that distinction. Let's see. Ultimately, the Gemara will. Because Amar le Ravina le Ravashi elamayata bayish ani ben toivim disluzusul kule bnei mishpacha nami devayil mitin le bayishas lechal bnei mishpacha. If you embarrass a humble, well brought up individual, where it's embarrassing to the whole family, so do you have to pay bayishas to the whole family? If by embarrassing someone's wife, you have to pay the husband boishas, so maybe if you embarrass one of the cousins, you have to pay everyone boishas. So obviously the Gemara didn't yet say ishtai kagufai, otherwise the answer would be simple. Until now, all the Gemara is the only distinction the Gemara made is between clothing and one's wife. Says Gemara, amarle hasam lav gufayu. There, by relatives, it's not your person. Hacha ishtai gufei havai. Here, a wife is like yourself. And as we all know, the Mishnah Berurah has a chiddush that even if, let's say, women do light, it's a big question. Do women light? So, the Mishnah Berurah has a chiddush, ishtai kagufai. A married woman doesn't light, even if mahajran min hamahajran. So now the question is, do girls who are not married, do they light? Mishnah Berurah brings from Achroinim, no, they don't light. Because they're subsumed by the men. Not clear what that means exactly. Chasam Sofer writes, women don't light. Because back in the day, when they lit outside, it was not considered modest for women to go out, Shus Harabim, and therefore even now, the original custom remained. Some say another svara, since there's no chinuch, why are you training a girl to do something that they won't be chayv to do when they get married? But Rav Moshe writes, the minog is, yes, women do light. Because you could say,
there's no more pirsumi nisa, the more there's more minayris that are lit.
It is, but the question is, you know, your shivcha kananis doesn't have to light, right? So.
No, it's all. The question is that they shouldn't light. The question was, is what?
No, so A.
Should they light or do they have to light?
So the, well, pashtus they should have to light, right? Because afin hayavoy se'anis. But as a married woman, she's not going to light, and therefore maybe there's no chinuch Because why, you don't have to train someone in something they're not going to do eventually. Plus, the Chassam Sofer said, when they originally lit in their Shus HaRabim, the women didn't light. It was not proper for them to go out in their Shus HaRabim. So that custom remained. But Rav Moshe writes, the minhag is that a girl should light. Do light, should light. In any event, the p'tur of a married woman is ishtay kegufay, which is a very big chiddush, because actually ishtay kegufay does not apply for any halacha at all. What mitzvah in the Torah are women pater because of ishtay kegufay? None. What mitzvah that women are chayvin, do we say, oh, you don't have to, you have a husband, he's doing it for you? No such thing. But Menorah, it's on the bias, so it might be different. Okay, let's see the new sugya, new Mishnah. Ha-poisig mois l'chasnai. You give money to your son-in-law. You give the son-in-law, you agree to provide him with X amount of money, he's marrying your daughter, and he does erusin, and then he dies. Umeis chasnai. Amru Chachamim, the sages said, Yachal hu sheyomer la'achicha yisiroitza litein ulcha iefshi litein. You could, now, so the chassan dies, and he has a brother, and the brother is zakuk liibum. So the shver could say to the brother, look, to your brother I wanted to give money. I don't want to give you, I don't like you. Paska la'achnes la'elef dinar. If she made up that she's going to bring into the marriage 1,000 dinar, let's say she tells the guy, look, we're going to get married, I'm bringing 1,000 dinar into the marriage. The halacha is, he writes in the ksuba, that he is benefiting and he owes and he is liable for 1,500 dinar. Chamesh Esrei Mana, 1,500 dinar. Basically, a 50% increase. Why? Because the fact that he has access to all this money and he could invest it and buy things and trade with it and make money off of it is a very big benefit for him. So he stands to gain, and he therefore has to write in the ksuba that he is he's benefiting 1,500.
This is Tain Barzel?
I think this is cash. If she writes in the ksuba that she's going to bring into the marriage liquid money, liquid assets, then he's going to be able to use it, then he has to write basically 50% more. Chamesh Esrei Mana, 15 mana. A mana is 100 zuz, so 15 mana is 100, a mana is 100 dinar, so 15 mana is 1,500 dinar. Ukineged Hashem hu poisek pachos chomesh. What does this mean? If the son-in-law writes that he is responsible for assets that she brings into the marriage worth 1,000, estimated at 1,000 dinar, let's say she brings in clothing or any type of utensils or any kind of merchandise. So the halacha is like this. Anything that's going to be used is going to depreciate. So instead of, like in the previous case, liquid assets, he has to write basically 1.5%. here, he, since it's something that could depreciate, he only has to write 4/5 of it, a fifth, meaning a fifth less. Or if it's not something that's going to be used, it's just something, merchandise she brings into the marriage, the estimators, Rashi say, over-evaluate these things by about a fifth, to be mechabev her to the husband, that she's bringing in such valuables, and therefore he only has to take responsibility for 4/5. So who poisek pachos chaimesh? But shum b'mana, if they evaluate it at a mana, the shave mana, and it's taka worth a mana, ein loy el a mana. All he has is a mana. Meaning, if she brings in something evaluated as a mana, and it's taka worth a mana, he cannot say, says Rashi, give me another fifth. Because, you know, he could say, look, don't Chazal say I could go down 1/5? That's only if it was over-evaluated. But if it was evaluated correctly, he's not able to say that. Shum b'mana, hi noisenes shloishim ve'echad sela. If there's an evaluation that he accepts as a mana, that they say to him, write a mana in the ksuba, and she'll bring in a shum of a mana. So in other words, if this is the other way around, if she brings in something normally, if she brings in a shum, he could evaluate it and take responsibility a fifth less. But if not that she brings it in, if we tell him, write in the ksuba amana, and now she wants to know, what does she have to evaluate? She has to give a fifth more. She has to give 31 sela, v'dinar, and a dinar, which is an additional fifth. In other words, if we're telling him he's going to get a shum of a mana, she has to provide 31 sela and a dinar, which is a fifth more than a mana. Uva arba meyos, and if he accepts upon himself to write in the ksuba 400, then he noisenes chamish meyos, she'll have to provide 500. So if we're telling him what to accept, she'll have to provide a fifth more. If she provides a certain amount, he only has to take responsibility for 4/5 of it. Ma, I don't have the next page. You want to read to me the end of the Mishnah? Ma shechasan. One second. Here it is. It's in my next pamphlet here. Masha Chasan Paisek, Hu Paisek Pachas Chaimesh. That which the Chasan takes responsibility for, he takes responsibility for 1/5 less. Meaning, if he takes responsibility first and she brings in, so he could take responsibility for 1/5 less, which is basically a repetition of what we just said earlier. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll pick it up here next time, likely Thursday night, but stay tuned, okay? Hatzlacha Rab, everyone. Kol Tov. Good night, good night. Freilachen. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.